The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to this Scandinavian preview where we preview the squads, the preliminary squads for Sweden and Finland before the World Junior Championships. And it feels really, really weird to speak about the World Junior Championships at the end of June, looking forward to the tournament come end of July and early August. I'm joined by none other than Anton Rasegård in Montreal.
Yeah, right from Plateau Mont-Royal. So I feel more and more Quebecois for every day that I'm here.
You're literally the heart of the pod right now.
I am. I like literally because Drake moved out of Montreal now as well, we have fewer and fewer like residents in Montreal. So I feel like I'm actually, you know, carrying the team here.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you on as always. And I was at the Teams call that when Sweden's squad was released the other day. And it's an interesting squad, and it's also two very different approaches that we're going to talk about here, because Sweden has put a limited amount of players into the squad, whereas Finland has more or less taken out two teams in order to prepare themselves for the tournament. Kind of difficult approaches, Anton. What do you make of that?
Yeah, as we were talking about before we started recording, that it feels like Finland has a more sound approach to this, especially since it's in the it's during the middle of the summer. So it's kind of like the World Cup in soccer this year that is unprecedented. We don't know really what to expect. Normally, players come from, you know, they've played for 2 or 3 months beforehand, and then they go into Christmas and they play World Juniors. And now it's, you know, in August, and I just feel like it's a more sound approach, especially when you have another World Juniors coming up just a few months later, to actually, you know, get as many players in there as you can and just use it as a developmental camp for both this World Juniors and next year's. So in regards to Sweden, it feels like Sweden always takes this approach, you know, focus on the oldest guys, like, you know, the guys who are not going to be there next year, and you know, trying to build, you know, a squad with 20-something players that know each other quite well from having played, you know, in several junior, Sweden junior squads before, and they are the same age, and it's kind of a coherent approach. But I would be more optimistic if I was from Finland.
I also spoke with Thomas Montén, who makes his last tournament as a coach. Or as a Swedish coach, at least, or as a Team Sweden coach, I should probably say that. Yeah. But he mentioned the fact that a lot or all of the players in Sweden are more or less drafted. It's Måns Forsell who isn't, Mattias Häverlid will be come the draft, and the same goes for Jonathan Lekkermäki, yeah, as well. But a lot of them are drafted, and he said they're not going to have a meetup in Stockholm before the tournament. A lot of these players will go to development camp and stay with their respective team in order to use their facilities and prepare themselves for the World Juniors, and then have a week-long camp just before the World Juniors and kick off from there.
What do you think about that?
With looking at the list from Finland, there are a lot of players that are not drafted. So I can see them making this two-team tryout in a way. And I think that's really, really smart with that approach. When you have as many players drafted as Sweden have on their roster, I think it's very smart to not have them travel back and forth another time over the Atlantic. So I think it's smarter to put some extra effort in early in North America before the tournament and see what comes there. It also probably helps for Finland that they have hybrid ice and a lot of different sets of ice around Helsinki, so they can practice on a North American sheet, whereas Sweden can't. So it makes sense from that approach as well. I know, speaking to quite a few of both Finnish and Swedish coaches, that they reckon it takes almost 5 to 7 days for a junior player to adjust from the time difference and getting back into practice at 100% when they come back after development camp.
Yeah.
So swapping that, I think that the Swedish approach is quite well thought out.
Yeah, it makes sense. Especially if you, as you say, have that many players already drafted who will be like at a developmental, development camp after the draft. So it makes sense to do it that way when you're still going to be in Canada for the actual tournament.
Sweden has also left a couple of spots open for late additions when teams see what they want to know about their prospects on development camp and who they can talk into lending the players into Team Sweden as well. We have that discussion on the Ice on the Price chat with some of the potential first round picks from this year's draft, and will they play with Montreal, and Montreal, do they really want to have them go to the World Juniors this late in between the development camp and the regular camp as well, injuries, etc., etc. So it will be a kind of a different thing. If you look at the Swedish team here, Wallerstedt is already in Minnesota. We know he won't play in the NHL unless something terrible happens in Minnesota. He'll probably stay in the AHL, and I think it's a good development for Wallstedt. I like him a lot. Then you have Kalle Klang, who's really strong in Rögle. He'll be there this season.
Yeah, he will stay in Rögle, will he?
Yeah, I assume so. I haven't heard anything else. I haven't seen that Rögle has signed a third goalie that is a little bit higher up the lineup than we think. Carl Lidbom in Djurgården as well. And then you have Helge Grans, who is with Ontario already, with the Rain. And Emil Andre, who is actually a Division II player.
He played really well this season for H71.
Exactly. He played really, really well, strong. He will be the captain for the team unless he declines it. But
I was going to say, don't you think there's a chance that Philadelphia maybe wants him to, stay out of the... I mean, I was just thinking, do you think there's a chance that Philadelphia sees him as an NHL player from the start of this season, or...?
I can't see that happening.
No.
So I think, and they do... Like, the NHL team speaks to the SHL teams or Hockey Allsvenskan teams and say, how many minutes will you play, and will he get the chance to play in power play? Will he get the chance to play on the box play? Will he get the first or second line? And if they don't, then they might take him over and play him in the AHL instead. But I can't see Andre go directly into Philly's lineup, and it will have to be super strong. And let's face it, he finished the season with a terrible concussion. So I hope he's just stay safe and plays really good this year, and then he will make the jump into the NHL that way. The leader of the under 18 team that actually won gold is Mattias Hävelid, and he's included. He will go, as David Saint-Louis said, somewhere in the first round, later half of the first round. He's in there as well. I think also there's no chance that he makes a team straight out of rookie camp either. So,
no, he's ranked after the, well, in the 20s, 30s, yeah. Right, in the draft. I was going to say about Hävelid as well. He's right-handed, isn't he?
So, yeah, I think so, yeah.
So he's one of the candidates. Once David Jiříček and Simon Nevitz are drafted, there is a competition for who's going to be the third right-handed defenseman off the board. So that could actually potentially move him or Ryan Chesley or Sam Rensel or the other candidates up draft boards, you know, quite high, because there is, you know, a limit on right-handed defensemen who are considered first rounders. So we'll see.
There's also the fact that he has these leadership abilities that everyone speaks very highly of in Linköping and in the under 20 team and under
18. Inherited from his
father.
Yes.
That not everyone knows played in the NHL. I think two seasons or three seasons he was up and down. So
Malmö legend, Niklas Hävelid.
Yeah, indeed. And we trust the Malmö guy to know it.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Forsfjell as well. Interesting guy, playing in Skellefteå. I know they really like him up there. I think he will make the jump into a regular spot this year. He was up and down last year. I don't think the next guy on the lineup will need any introduction, because it's Simon Edvinsson, who will I look to go into Detroit and make a statement this year. And the question is if Detroit will let him play in the World Juniors. But right now he is on the roster, and I would assume Thomas Montén has made that deal with Detroit already. Leo Löf is an odd man out, really, in Sweden. I wrote about him both for McKean's and for Ice on the Prize, and it's really weird to see a young Swedish player play in Finland. He's a big bruiser kind of guy, typical St. Louis Blues player, if we look at it that way. Really strong, something that I think was needed. I was actually kind of impressed with him, the way he played in those two games for the World Juniors in January. So it's a player to look into and see what we can do. Then the big thing in Sweden for last year's tournament was that William Wallinder wasn't included in the lineup, and I can tell you, the coaching staff in Rögle was very upset. Wallinder himself was really upset. And they really showed Montén and the coaching staff that they were in the wrong, because the second half of the season that William Wallinder had was outstanding. And he will be one of the top four defenders on this roster. I cannot see anything else happening.
And it's another one of these Detroit Red Wings Swedes, right? So
yeah. You know, just draft out of Frölunda, and Rögle will be there. Or actually, he was drafted out of the Modo.
Right. Yeah.
But it's impressive and well. And I tweeted about it. And looking at it, it's important to consider, even if there is a little bit of a drawback to, like, Rögle is in a development club, there is a lot of players going to Rögle because it is a development club. They might not have grown up there, but it also, I mean, there are five players on this Swedish roster that as of May the 1st have Rögle as their home club. And it speaks a lot about the development that goes on there in order to make that step from SHL to the NHL. Morris Seider really showcased that, and well, we can see with the NHL awards that it was a smart way of going back into Sweden, playing a full season and showcasing what he can do. I'm not surprised at all that he got the Rookie of the Year award.
That also helps naturally for a club like Rögle, who is, you know, really on the rise, to just show, like, well, if you come to us, you can develop into something worthy of, you know, a Calder Trophy. So of course, that's going to, you know, help attracting other young players.
Success breeds success. It's as easy as that. And we've seen it before with Modo, you know, when we grew up a couple of decades ago, it feels like. And then it was Djurgården that had a big, strong unit of players coming through at the same time. Frölunda was the next one. And now it's Rögle. So the question is, which team will take up after Rögle, because this is a good way of earning a bit of money, because you get development money from the NHL, but also it's a smart way of actually keep limiting your own budget, because obviously rookie contracts are cheaper in Sweden as well. The last one is Joel Nyström from Färjestad, and is drafted by Carolina. And Färjestad is that team that I think will pick up after Rögle. They're restructuring their whole organization right now, and I think it's a really good move. Unfortunately, they're also the champions of the SHL, won Le Mat Trophy this year. Really strong team, classic team, Frölunda's rivalry, rival team more often than not. Very, very impressed. And, you know, the captain was Jacob de la Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah. Montreal bred.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah.
He obviously went home to be with his mom, who passed away from cancer last year. Daniel Jungman, again, a regular player from now on. Fabian Lissell, we spoke about him. Had a little bit of a turmoil here in Sweden, where he went from Frölunda in the middle of the draft season to Luleå, and then Boston picked him late first round, if I remember correctly, and sent him to Vancouver Giants in OHL, right?
In the WHL.
Yeah. And he's played very well there from what I've heard. So I think it was a very, very smart move. I think he needed to get out of Sweden in that regard because there was too much spotlight on other things.
He did the same type of odd move when you're, you know, a high profile draft pick as Noel Gunle did a couple of years ago. Noel Gunle seems to have picked up his game staying at home in Brynäs, but obviously for Lissell, being a first round draft pick and everything, you know, it's important to just, you know, get his head sorted and focus on the stuff that matters if he wants to have a successful career.
Then in order, normally we Sweden will try to fake you out with a Finnish name, but right now this time we will fake you with a Norwegian name, with Åke Stakkestad. Really good player, stood out for a Karlskoga team that played really well in Hockey Allsvenskan last year as well. Interestingly enough, I think he will get drafted sometime during the later rounds this year, if he isn't already drafted. I don't think
he isn't drafted, but he's born he's already 20, so yeah. That's the question, if he's just, I mean, he had 7 points in 24 games, so like in Hockey Allsvenskan, is that enough?
Maybe not, but he is that kind of player that
makes others better.
Yeah, and also like that you can shove in anywhere.
Yeah,
and he will always do his job. A little bit of those players that you regularly see on the fourth line in NHL. I don't think William Eklund needs another introduction, but he will be the leader of this team, at least on the forward group. And he has a great shot, great skills. He benefited from being home, even if Djurgården was relegated in the end. But I think it was very important for him. And the fact was that I don't think it was the player's fault that Djurgården got relegated. It was the organization as a whole, including...
It's all Barry Smith's fault.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that. But yeah. In the end, yeah. But it was also the board that hired Barry Smith.
Yeah, of course.
And waited too long. And I think they got in some typical North American players that one guy didn't know that if you tossed your gloves, you were automatically suspended for a game in Sweden or something like that. And, you know, it just screamed of unprofessionalism the whole fall last year. And William Eklund was stuck in that, really. And not even him could save them at the end. Linus Gordén in Rögle. Then one of my favorite guys, and has flown under the radar a little bit because he plays for Växjö and it's a really, really strong team. But Viktor Stjernborg is his upside. If he reaches it, he could definitely be a middle six center in the NHL. So keep an eye on that. I think Chicago got a little bit of a good deal there when they drafted him quite late. I think it was the fifth or sixth round.
It was the fourth.
Okay, yeah.
But I remember you talking a lot about you wanting, you know, the Canadians to draft him last year.
Yeah. So I really, really like him. So I'm not surprised to see him here.
He's quite a heavy dude. I mean, he's 5'10 and 203 pounds. It's a lot of body mass on quite a small player.
And he's really tough to take the puck off. A lot of those kilos are not just fat; it's pure muscle most of it. So he has learned to play that just because he is so small. He's learned to play a big game and built up a balance and low center of gravity. It's really, really interesting. I'm really looking forward to see him in this tournament, actually. Zachary Ossian is one player that Heinemann played with quite a bit in Leksand last year. Also interesting to see. Do you have
anything to say on Albert Huber?
Not really. No. I actually haven't watched Södertälje as much as I should have, probably. I didn't even watch Södertälje when they played in Kristianstad last year. So.
No.
Then we have Jonathan Lekkenmäki. I'm undecided about. I see him in the top 10 for this draft. Great shot, fantastic under 18 tournament. I'm still not sure that he should be top 10 though. I don't think he has the hockey IQ. I've spoken with quite a few people about him maybe making the move in a similar way to Elias Pettersson into center. But we all agree that his hockey IQ isn't really up to the same level. I'm not sure that we were with Elias Pettersson either when he was drafted, that hockey IQ was the thing that stood out. But it's interesting. I would assume he would play on one wing and we will have William Ekelund on the other, and then you'll have a center that can just distribute passes left, right, and center, and it will be a tornado of pucks flying towards the opposing goalie.
I wrote about Lekkonen-Mäki's teammates, Kalle Odelius, for a draft profile, and I was just thinking, like, I mean, now that Djurgården were relegated to Hockeyallsvenskan, they will probably end up in somewhat of a similar situation to HV71, where they have to rely more on their young guys. And obviously, like, if Lekkonen-Mäki needs to develop certain aspects of his game, it could actually be quite a benefit to play in a slightly worse league and be a top team there and be able to make a few mistakes instead of being a bottom feeder in the SHL. And that works for him and Odelius and Noah Östlund and Liam Ögren as well.
The question for me is, when we speak about this, is that I don't see you, Gordon, that they are going to do the same kind of thing that Hove did and go for it to be promoted directly.
Mm.
And then you won't have a top line of your junior players.
No, not a top line. But I'm saying, like, if they are used in the middle six.
Yeah, and that means that I'm wondering if an NHL team would rather make sure he plays in the AHL the upcoming season. I know he doesn't want to, or that he has very clearly stated he wants to play in Djurgården next year.
Mm.
But, you know, if it all depends on deployment and how many minutes he will be able to play. I'm not sure that, you know, a NHL team agrees with that development. It'd be interesting to follow. Be interesting to see how Montén lines up this. If he do the thing I just said, that he would put a puck distributing center with a defense acumen with Ekelund and Lekkonen-Mäki, because it could be really, really interesting to see just the number of shots in a shift, because both of them loves to shoot. Mm. And both of them have really good shots as well, so it's not only that. There are two former Frölunda players here as well, and it's Theodor Niederbach, who left Frölunda to go to Rögle, as we said, in order to get that little bit of a restart and playing a little bit more. He's been borderline all the time with Frölunda. He's gotten a few quite a bit of games, but very little play time in regards to those games in SHL this year. Strong, secure, also with a good shot. I'm looking forward to see what he can do in Rögle though. I think he can break out really, really strong. And obviously, it's another one of those Detroit Swedish guys as well.
Yeah.
And then it's Oscar Magnusson, who was drafted by Washington, AIK. I think he also had a pretty decent season when AIK finally got going last year. It was a bit up and down before that, though. And then it's Daniel Torgeson, who has had a terrible, terrible season with different knee injuries up and down the lineup. But he's looking to go to Winnipeg and play there. And I think he will do very, very well.
Yeah, in the few games he played for Manitoba Moose, the AHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets, he had 3 points in four games. So he showed something, but it was just in limited action.
He loved it as well. I just read an interview with him from Johan Rylander, and he loved it in Manitoba. And he said it was very similar setup to Frölunda as well, whereas both teams share the same training facility, and you can learn from the NHL players. So very, very, he was very happy with his time in Canada this spring.
I mean, he could be the first one to be happy being in Manitoba. I mean, the first out of Manitoba ever.
Well, maybe we don't know.
Just
we'll
I was
see
gonna
if he gets out that.
I was gonna say, just ask Patrick Laine.
Yeah. Well, he was happy to leave, right?
Yeah. Well,
and,
I mean,
and with that Finnish transition, we're going into
exactly
the Finnish lineup. The thing is, we're just going to pick a few random names here.
Before we go to the Finnish team, I was just with Montreal in mind, I was just thinking, do you think there's a chance that Emil Heinemann will be one of the three players added to this team in the end?
I think he's overaging. He's aged out, right?
Maybe it's 2001. I wasn't thinking of it because it's obviously the 2020 draft. Yes, he is. November 16th. Sorry.
So I think he's aged out, which is unfortunate in some ways, but also it's full focus on Rocket, and well, we'll see how he translates into the new Artur Lehkonen, as everyone says he should manage to do.
Yeah.
When we're looking at the Finnish team, it is more of an unknown team when it comes to different draft picks. There, many of them are drafted at lower levels. And there are not that kind of star-studded as we sort of have expected from Finland the last couple of years, where they have a top line that is over the top, really, with talent, and the rest are just there to fill out the roles. We saw one player that fulfilled his role perfectly in the two or three games that Finland played in the World Juniors last year, and that was Oliver Kapanen, who was center for the second line. But by using Oliver Kapanen's shutdown line on the second line and cancelling out one of the top two lines for the opposing team, Brad Lampert was freed up, and he could use his speed and he could use his skill to really dominate those two games or those few games that he played in. It was against a little bit of a weak opposition, but it's still interesting to see. And I would expect the coaches of Finland to continue that approach because it was very successful.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there we have the one player so far that is on Montreal's roster, and that is Oliver Kapanen. And he had a pretty decent good. Let's be honest, he had a pretty good playoffs in the under-20 with Kalpa last season. And it will be interesting to see if he can bring that into the World Juniors again and maybe become a little bit more of a leader on that team with the experience that he has.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Kapanen takes the next step into a full-blown senior player this upcoming year as well.
And he is still available for the World Juniors in January then. So it will really be a long season for him.
Mm.
And we will see how Kalpa develops him as well. We all know with Kalpa that it's a little bit up and down sometimes with playtime and practice and where you're going to play your games. Sometimes it's under 20s and sometimes they go on loan and sometimes they come back and play with the A team, and I really hope he gets to stay with the Liga team this year. He has a lot to show, and I'm not convinced yet about his qualities. But you saw glimpses of it in both in the Four Nations tournament in November in Ängelholm, where I was, and also during the World Juniors, and then at the end of the tournament, end of the season, when he played really, really good with his Kalpa under 20s, even if he was sent off for a 5-minute fighting because just, you know, he was a little bit pissed at the end. Looking at it though, names here that stands out for you, Anton, I know you've written quite a few draft profiles of some of these players.
Exactly, but most of them were 2 years ago, so now I'm just thinking about how they've developed during this time. But we have guys like Topi Niemelä. I know that he's a Toronto prospect. We have, as defenders, we have Ruben Rafkin there. We have Alexei Helmosalmi. We have Emil Viro. I don't know. Was Emil Viro one of the guys who was surprisingly undrafted, or how did it actually go in the end? I'm going to check him out. Emil Viro from TPS. He was drafted in the third round. Yeah. So otherwise, we have a lot of offensive power as well, naturally, for the Finnish team. We have small guys, Roni Hirvonen and Kasper Simon Taival. And to even that out, you have big man Samuel Helenius, who is about 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster. Hasn't hit the ground running. I think he's drafted by the Kings. But you know, there is a lot to like about his big man play in the middle of the field. We have Atu Ratu, who obviously is one of the more intriguing prospects, since he going into the 2021 season, he was considered to be the prospective
top five.
Yeah, top five or even top one. He was considered the one who was gonna, you know, who you were gonna have to beat out to be chosen first overall. And then he just tanked that season. It just like nothing worked for him. And this season he's actually made up for it. He's had a very productive season in Liga. So it will be fun to see how he is compared to his, compared to his peers. And the same goes for Brad Lambert, who, there's been a lot of talk about Brad Lambert and, you know, a possible lack of effort or a demanding father. And he changed teams in the middle of the season this year, and he's dropped down draft boards and may be selected out of the top 10. But in the two games he played for Finland at the World Juniors before it was cancelled, he was excellent. And maybe this is just what he needs, you know, just some consistency. You know, he will take on a leading role on that team, even if he's one of the younger guys. And he will probably get set up in you know, a good position to provide points, both on power play and 5-on-5. And you have guys like Robi Järventie, for example, who are like natural born scorers, who should be able to help Lambert, you know, provide for the team.
And what you can see when you look at the roster so far as well is that you almost have a couple of lines that are set because they played with each other at juniors from the same teams, and I think that could speak volumes as well. And this is what we have seen with the Finnish team more often than not, that you take a bunch of Finnish players and they will outperform everyone else no matter what skill level the others are at, because they have the heart, they have the sisu, and they bond together as that group, us against the world, and has been very successful, let's face it, both at junior level and both at senior team level as well, with an Olympic gold and World Championship gold this year, and it's fantastic to see, really, where the sum of the parts is greater than the individual parts themselves, and the fact that Finland has put together two teams, one, as we mentioned earlier, that it would be because you have an under 20 tournament coming up in January again. So you need to see how these players stack up. But also, because you want to have a good group of working together, and you can take out a bad apple if there's something happening that shouldn't really be happening. I think it speaks volumes about the coaching strategy of Finland again. And you saw that with the Kapanen last year as well. He went in and he took the role that he was asked to do, and he did it perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did. And that tells you something about the coaching staff as well, knowing how to put the players in position to you know, play their best game.
Indeed. And even if it's we're not spending as much time on Finland this time, it is interesting because the components are really, really good. And the chefs that are working with them are even better. That is maybe another thing that people who follows me has figured out already, but I'm not a huge fan of the Swedish coaching staff and Thomas Montén in particular. But whereas you see Finland's coaching staff, they are really building on success, and success breeds more success. So I'm really, really interesting to see how this will turn out. And as we mentioned at the intro of this podcast as well, to have two teams, it's really interesting. And there are some very cool players that I hope makes it into the team. And one player that I will be looking really focused on is Elmeri Laakso, who had a really good playoffs in the under-20s last year.
And defenseman, right?
Defenseman, yeah. On the B team, and he's the one maybe I should that I would like say look at this guy, because he can be really, really good. And then obviously we have Konsta Kapanen there on the B team as well, so
the cousin of Oliver.
Yeah, and yeah. And it's Sami Kapanen's son, I think. So it's interesting in that regard. And will the cousins be able to play together or not on this stage? We'll see. Most likely we'll be able to play together in come January. I'm not sure they will here in August, but there it is.
I wanted to ask you as well before we quit, before we finish, about if you have an opinion about, the other 2022 draft prospect in the A team, Joakim Kemell.
He's when we spoke about shooters in the Swedish team, I'll tell you that he is even better. It's as easy as that. At one point before he got injured last fall, he was leading Liga in points and goals as a junior player. He led the whole of Liga, and he was wearing the golden bucket with pride. If he gets going, there will be a lot of teams that has to focus on him. And I think you will have to be able to that will free up space for someone else. The question is, will he get going? I hope he does, because he's a great player. And I know for a while that McKean's, I think it was around December, we had him at number 3 in our draft rankings at that point. And the Finnish guy was super, super high on Kemell. And it's a player to watch.
It almost feels like you could create kind of an Alex Holtz and Lucas Raymond kind of combination with Joakim Kemell and Brad Lambert.
You could, and it all comes down to sacrificing yourself for the team. Will Lampard be able to do that? Because that's what we hope he will do. And if he does, I think he has a really someone that will draft him between 8 and 15 will have made a really good draft. We know David Saint-Louis he's really, really intrigued by Lampard skating wise. He's really good. The question is surrounding if he can put all these pieces together and maybe block out everything around him.
Yeah.
It's a really strong team with focus on team. There is no I in team, but there is a me. But the Finnish team is again a team, whereas the Swedish team is maybe more. Two top six and two bottom six lines. with a quite of a big gap between them. You listen to the first part of the summer, really, because it's 30 degrees here in Sweden. And we will get back to you with more from the draft, from the World Juniors, from development camp, and obviously from the top 25 under 25, where Anton and I already have started to plan for all the podcasts that will go out around that time. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for joining me from Montreal. Again, if you see someone with a right, make the right choice jersey or t-shirt on the draft, we know it's Anton. Unless he wears ribbons in jersey, because then it's Anton as well.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.